This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Ah, how nice it is to hear a piece of music that is consistent, that is reliable, that is memorable. In such times when nothing is consistent, reliable, or memorable, well, what we're going through is indeed memorable. I'm your host. Welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And as I was telling my producer right before we started, I could probably do 3 hours of rant just in my frustration and flat-out anger with what's going on right now. And it's interesting because so much is going on right now that it hits people where they live, depending on what gets them most. Some people, like my producer, were complaining, and rightfully so, about the amount of money we're spending and where it's going. And that certainly, you know, when we protested $897 billion with a B, that Obama spent, and that's what started the Tea Party. Suddenly, this virus, we are now spending $6 trillion. That was almost a trillion. This is $6 trillion, and yet that's not even what is making me stomp around the house in ways that I rarely do. I'm going to read a few headlines to you from the hysterical Drudge Report. But these headlines are apparently happening. Drudge has lost his mind. He only focuses on hysteria and fear-mongering. But these headlines are apparently accurate, I repeat. Coronavirus patients ordered to wear GPS ankle monitors. Google releases location data to help authorities check lockdowns. Delaware police authorized to pull over out-of-state drivers. New Jersey governor tells families to distance from each other, even inside their house. Face coverings or $1,000 fine in a Texas city takes drastic measures against coronavirus. Cars must enter Florida way stations for COVID-19 checks. Truckers told to bypass. New York City mayor threatens to shut down synagogue permanently, I have to say with emphasis, if the synagogue does not comply with his arrogant orders. Do you see where I'm going with this? Things have been turned upside down by the same people, for the most part, who have intentionally been turning our culture upside down. Right and wrong is upside down. The Constitution was turned upside down. And yet these are the same people that are telling us that we must listen to them or be punished, threatened, or fined. They're letting criminals out of prison, threatening law-abiding citizens and jail if they don't do as they're told by the most arrogant and ignorant among us. Let me play for you Colorado Governor Jared Polis, who loves the limelight, loves to give press conferences. And just a day and a half ago, 2 days ago, he gave a press conference in which it was pure hysteria. You know, we're going to get through this and we're in this together and you need to stay at home and you've got to do what we tell you. And, you know, all the stuff that we're seeing all around the country, more from Democrats than Republicans. But then, as I was watching this press conference by our esteemed radical governor who loves telling other people what to do under the guise of it's for your own good, he says this. Go.
But reserve that for those who need it. Over 90%, depending on your age or more, of folks will not need medical intervention. the only clinical advice you need to know is rather than ibuprofen, use acetaminophen or aspirin if necessary. You don't have to use any of those if you don't want to, but you can use those to bring down your fever. So we are rapidly working on scale it up testing. We have one of the highest testing percentages.
We're working on all forms of testing. Cut. All right. Did you hear that? You don't even have to use aspirin if you don't want to, because 90% of people who get the virus won't need any medical attention at all. I repeat, 90% of people who get the virus won't need any medical attention at all. Now, am I saying there's nothing to worry about with this virus? No, I am not saying that. I'm saying we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I'm saying we can give help where help is most needed, where people live on top of each other, as I used to do in New York City. Thank God I don't live there anymore. In big cities that are hardest hit, we can target help where help is needed without removing the livelihoods and ruining the lives not only of 320 million Americans, but ruining and removing freedom from them. Now, we've got way too many radical politicians who are just itching to take away our freedom, and they're using this as the opportunity. And how do I know this? Because if you ask the kind of questions I'm asking, you are being told that you're killing people by not falling in with the masses. I had this experience personally, and I've got to calm down because, I mean, this just hits me so deeply where I live. And I finally realized why. It's because I wrote a book about freedom. I wrote a book about personal, independent freedom and personal responsibility. It's why I'm so passionate about it. And I think people who truly understand liberty as a moral imperative and why they truly love this country is because they believe liberty is a moral imperative too. Now, yes, we have a real virus on our hands, and it's killing elderly people and people over 70. I'm even in that group more than it's killing anybody else. Do we need to focus our attention on it? Do we need to do stuff about it? Do we need to cajole, persuade, ask, implore people, if necessary, to stay home? But in order to use force to stop people from traveling freely as free citizens, you better have something more serious than 9 out of 10 people won't even need an aspirin. You better have yellow fever or bubonic plague, okay? I am fit to be tied about this. What bothers me most is the level of compliance that we are seeing. And when tyrants see that there is such compliance, they step up their dictates more and more. And I'm seeing this as well. With every piece of good news that happens, from good drugs that are helping people, from an enormous, as we saw last week with Dan Perkins' bombshell of an announcement that nobody cared about, as I knew they wouldn't, that the very people for whom all these medical professionals, intentionally, good intentions or not, have been using these hysterical statistics have been ramped down tremendously. You'd think people who care about the life and livelihoods and everything else of their fellow citizens who are claiming they are more compassionate than anyone else, you'd think that they'd be cheering in the streets that there are good drugs that are helping and working, that we are commandeering people, and that too is force, but we're making more ventilators. They don't just come out of thin air. We're rising to the challenge, but to use the power of force and government to the extent that we're doing by spying on people, by asking people to snitch on their neighbors, all of this is straight out of the old Soviet Union. It is a communist's dream. Do we have self-avowed communists and secret communists in this country who have been advocating for the overthrow of a president, the overthrow of our free market system? Yes, we do. We have even more that are secret communists. Now, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can be concerned about a virus that either intentionally or deliberately has been put upon us and the rest of the world by China, by, shall we say, communist China. All right? This country is under attack, but it's under attack not just from China, whether directly or indirectly. It is under attack by our own fellow Americans who have fully abandoned respect for the rights and the free will of their fellow citizens. The more ignorant, the more progressive, the more left they are, the more bullying and the more dictatorial they have become. What scares me and worries me so much more than this virus, and I'm concerned about it, but what scares me and worries me is that when a tyrant is, I can't even think anymore. When you give in to a tyrant, you roll over to a tyrant and he sees how easy it is, just like a bully. When he sees how easy it is to control you, he ramps up his dictates more. And I said that, but I want to expand on this a little bit. With every piece of good news, we have tyrants who are ramping up the hysteria, ramping up the fear-mongering, and getting even more punitive and punishing to law-abiding citizens, which means they're not paying attention to the facts on the ground. In fact, they never have paid attention to the facts on the ground. They employed the agenda before they ever employed or addressed the facts. Even when the facts change, they don't change their agenda. And in fact, the more Trump does, the more Pelosi threatens to have him investigated because he's mishandling it all. Gee, do you think that's a bias? Do you think that is? I don't think so. My delightful producer is telling me I have to take a break. So when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this and finish up. And then we're going to have a spectacular guest in which we will discuss this in much greater detail. Jeff Dunitz from The Lid, a wonderful blog who's posted some of my stuff. So this is Karen Cataline. I'm going to take a couple of deep breaths. And we will come back with Spouting Off right after this break. Stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. So we're all living this, what seems like a nightmare. Every day when this first started, I was waking up saying, oh, darn, I'd wake up and say, that wasn't a nightmare. It wasn't a bad dream. It's really happening. So let me tell you what I'm thinking about writing this week. You get an advanced bit of information. It's all about what I talked about before the break. But why do some men lust for power over other men? I mean, I know that's like a huge philosophical question, but those are the questions that I ask. And I would love to hear from you. If you'd like to chime in, we are broadcasting live on the K-Star Radio Network. And all you have to do to call in right now, if you're listening to this on Friday, we broadcast live Friday noon, and then the show repeats. So you get to hear your voice again on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. But if you'd like to chime in and rant, because I don't have to be the only one to rant, please call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Would love to take your call. We will have our guest coming up before the end of the hour, before the bottom of the hour break, I should say. But I just wanted to take a little bit of time to finish this up. You know, we talk about this, but sometimes people only pay lip service to it. Why do some men, as I said, why do some men lust for power? I was looking at the wrong line in my notes, over other men. And I'm using men in the most classical sense, meaning mankind, not just men, not just women. The greatest atrocities through history have been committed by those who have sought at all costs to control others for power. It's not even money. Money is power, but it's control. It is control. They're not satisfied to be in control of themselves. They must be in control of others. The genocides that happened from tyranny only came later when people finally rejected those relentless attempts to be controlled. That's why it's so important to hold on to your freedom early, because once you've rolled over, it's pretty hard sometimes to get the freedom back. And we're watching this as we speak. Now, as I said, if there's a couple of movies that I've been moved to recommend to people. I know if you're a regular listener, you've heard me talk about Gandhi, which used to be the favorite of the left, which is nonviolent resistance, not the kind of resistance the left has been putting up to a duly elected president trying to trump up, and I say that on purpose, hatred for this president to such a degree that if they overthrow him, people won't care because they hate him so much. See, I don't think the people trying to overthrow him hate him that much, and I'm going to keep saying that until I'm somehow proven wrong. I don't think you could hate anybody that much without having a purpose and a reason to get rid of him. Their purpose is they don't want him to expose their corruption and the swamp. I mean, what has he been promising all along? That he was going to drain the swamp. If he had become part of the swamp, they wouldn't be trying to get rid of him. And suddenly they wouldn't hate him quite so much. So Gandhi is an extraordinary movie and a textbook in nonviolent resistance. I do not believe it works in all cases. I don't believe it would have worked in World War II, but I do think that in this case it could work. And that doesn't mean that you defy orders when they make sense. It means that you say, you know what? I'm not going to be forced to do this or be threatened with jail time while you let all the criminals, rapists, and murderers out of jail so you can make room for me. That's not freedom. And that's not someone who really cares about your life and what's best for you. That's a person who is trying to impose authoritarianism upon you. The other movie, which just as an idea to see what a true plague looks like, is Jezebel. Jezebel with Betty Davis, which I remember quite well. And towards the end, it's Betty Davis and Henry Fonda are, it was kind of Betty Davis's consolation prize for not getting the role of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind. So she did this movie, Jezebel, with Henry Fonda, and she's a spoiled Southern belle like Scarlett O'Hara. And at the end, they don't fight the Atlanta Civil War. They fight yellow fever. And if you just watch what a plague and a yellow fever, I don't think that 9 out of 10 people were told, you know what, you're not going to need any medical attention at all, but you'll be positive for coronavirus. Really? I don't think so. Now, does that mean we shouldn't take steps to contain the virus? Yes. Does that mean that we shouldn't do what we can to send help to the places that are hardest hit? Absolutely. Forcing people? No. I'm going to just go on a little longer, but if we can bring on our guest, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest, because what fun it is to have him here. His name is Jeff Dunnitz, and I came across him because I love his blog. He was kind enough to publish a few of my pieces, and he's had a 30-year career in marketing. And Jeff left the corporate world to become a full-time journalist, blogger, and pundit, political pundit. Now he's known as the conservative voice for the People's Republic of New York, he calls it. Boy, do you think he's wrong? And that's part of what we're going to talk about, is Mayor Bill de Blasio. Jeff is a bit of a fish out of water, a New Yorker, a Jew, and a conservative. Jeff mixes a dash of spiel, political theory, religion, and New York snark to his political news and commentary, which can be found also at his site at lidblog.com. That's lidblog, lid meaning his yarmulke on top of his head, and his weekly political column in the Jewish Star. Jeff Dunnitz is on the line. Welcome to Spouting Off, Jeff.
Thank you.
Great.
Great to be here.
It's great to talk to you, too. You and I finally met at CPAC, where we had our first coronavirus announcement that somebody at our Shabbos dinner had coronavirus. Right. You know, God willing, he's okay. I've been
ranting. You reminded me of one of my favorite quotes.
What was that?
Albert Camus, who said, "The welfare of the people is always the excuse of tyrants."
Aha! Yes, it is. I also think we must take care of our freedom as much as we take care of our health, or we will lose both. Why don't you give me a kind of a general idea of where you're coming from on all this, and then we'll talk about that marvelous mayor, Bill de Blasio, and what he's doing in New York.
I'm torn. I really am, because I've seen people who died and got it at like random places. Okay. And just, you know, breezing by people. So I can understand the shelter in place stuff, but I don't like government telling me to shelter in place.
Yes. Yes, because let me just say, Jeff, that if, God forbid, this was the yellow fever or the bubonic plague, you wouldn't have to use the force of government. And I don't think you should. I mean, let me not say that. That's not what I meant to say. I'm saying perhaps it would be necessary for the bubonic plague and the yellow fever, okay? Perhaps it would be. If you had people dying in the streets that way, maybe you would need exactly that. Is this that? Is this the yellow fever or the bubonic plague?
It's close.
Tell me about your experiences.
Well, one of them, the worst one, was my wife manages real estate, shopping centers. And in one of her shopping centers that she manages, there are apartments over it. And one of the guys who lived in the apartment had no family, no friends, and disappeared for a week. So they called the cops to check on him. He caught the virus, died.
Really? How old was he?
He was in his mid-50s. There was another guy who is a friend's cousin who is in his 30s.
Wow. You know,
so, yeah, it's kind of scary. I mean, my wife, okay, she had endocarditis a couple of years ago, and she had a...
What's that?
It's a disease of the lining of your heart.
Hmm.
Okay. And 75% of the people who get it die from it. Thank God my wife didn't. But they had to put a pig valve in her instead of her aorta. So
yes,
she is one of those high-risk people.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm kind of scared about it.
Okay, so, Jeff, let's stop there for a minute. Now, would it not make more sense to quarantine the people who are vulnerable, who are most vulnerable, than quarantining healthy people along with sick people and vulnerable people?
But you don't
get
know
that,
who's healthy
do you?
And who's not. That's the problem. Because of what you said, 90% of the people don't need doctors, and a big percentage don't even know they have it.
Hmm. So are you for this quarantining, and how broadly do you think it should be done?
Well,
I think that I
am for it in a way, but I don't think that if you find somebody who went out for a pizza, you arrest them.
Hmm.
Okay, which
well,
is what...
people are allowed to go out for pizza because they're frequenting places that do takeout, so
yeah,
we can keep
our
restaurants in business, right?
In LA,
so that's supposed to be okay.
People who go
What's
out.
That?
Didn't they threaten people who go out in LA?
Well, there is just so much, so many stories that I have here and that you have here. Maybe we'll ask our, we have to take a break in just a minute, and maybe we'll ask our producer, Doug, if he knows if someone was arrested because they went out for a pizza. I mean, last I checked, pizza places you could take out. What's that?
You're right. You're 100% right. But there are states threatening people who go out.
There are states threatening people with fines. It's happening in Colorado. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. And I'm sorry I interrupted you there. I want you to get back to what you were saying. And I appreciate that you're torn. I'm glad you're torn. Okay, we're talking to Jeff Dunitz from the Lid blog. You're going to want to go to his blog. He's got a great piece right now that he directed me to, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Karen Cataline, and this is Spouting Off. Please stay with us. We have a whole lot more right after this. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. Thanks for staying with us, Karen Cataline, your host on Spouting Off. You're better off when you're spouting off, although in my case, sometimes I got to keep my blood pressure low. We are delighted to have with us the proprietor of the Lid blog, Jeff Dunitz. Jeff, before we get back to our conversation, tell everybody about your blog, what's on there now, and why people need to start going there and reading it.
Basically, if there's a new story, I'm usually the first one to do it and evaluate it from a conservative standpoint. I mean, it's as simple as that. When Trump sent out the letter the other day to Schumer, which is basically smacking him around, you know, I was the first one to write about it.
That's great. Tell us just a little about that so they can go to your blog and read letter.
You got to go there and read the letter. It was typical Trump. But more than that, I mean, basically he ended it. And this is the tone of the whole thing, but he ended it with saying, I know you for a few decades, but I didn't realize how bad a senator you were for New York until I became president. I mean, it was a smackdown.
Yeah, and they just hate when he does that, so that's why you should do it more, especially when somebody deserves it like Chuckie Schumer. At the break, we were talking about Pelosi and that you're working on another piece about how she admitted that she did indeed know about the coronavirus while she was spending all that time on impeachment, right?
Well, yeah. And the answer, well, it started with Mitch McConnell saying, you know, impeachment slowed us down. Well, during the Senate trial, the senators aren't allowed to do anything but the trial. That's the constitutional law, the tradition, whatever. Pelosi, she could have done something about it. And if you look at the timeline, and I posted the timeline, Pelosi said, when Mitch McConnell said it was impeachment, she said, that's ridiculous. People who didn't act on impeachment were either didn't care about it or were incompetent. Well, if you take a look at the timeline, during impeachment, President Trump was doing all these things to fight the spread. And even after he said, a month after he said, you know, no one can come in here from China, because we don't want them to spread. Pelosi was in San Francisco saying, hey, everybody come out. Let's go to Chinatown.
What do you think? And what do you think about the fact that this is the same woman who is now preparing an investigation that Donald Trump somehow cost lives because he mishandled the coronavirus? He's done everything that was asked of him and a whole lot more. Some things I don't even agree with as far as how much money is being spent. You know, it's almost like a universal basic income, and it's going to keep going. And yet Pelosi still doesn't think he's done enough. What do you think about that?
Look, this started on election eve in 2016, okay, because that's what it's really about. They are upset that Hillary Clinton lost the election, and they still haven't given up, okay? And everybody knows, you know, using the corona language, Hillary Clinton tested negative for the presidency. It's as simple as that.
That's a good one. Well, and I would add real quickly, that it isn't just that they were sorry, they were mad that she lost. It was that Trump represents the end to their corruption and their gravy train. He promised he'd clean up the swamp. I just said that. And he represents a direct threat to them, and they've been willing to demonize him in order to overthrow him. And it still hasn't worked, and I don't think the way that they have they've fear-mongered over a serious virus, I'm not sure that's going to work either. Do you?
Well, if you look at it, they want America to move closer towards socialism.
No, they want America to be socialist.
Well,
I don't think closer.
Right? Okay. But I guess I'm being nice.
You are being way too nice.
It started
Jeff.
With
Go
Russia.
Yep.
Then it was, he's a racist.
Yep.
And my personal favorite, then it was, he's an anti-Semite.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he's an anti-Semite, he hates all his grandchildren.
That's right.
Right?
He put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem because he really hates Israel. And he hates the Jewish people, too.
But actually, with Obama, it wasn't so much he was anti-Israel. My contention is Obama's an anti-Semite. And I've listed out all the reasons why. But, you know, you go on, they're always looking for something to charge him with.
Yes, that's right. Can we move on a little bit to what I invited you on for? But it's such a huge issue. So the socialist mayor, New York City mayor, Bill de Blasio, drunk with power, didn't like the fact that a synagogue, that an Orthodox synagogue, I don't know where, maybe you know, they decided to have a minyan, which is 10 people. Who knows? Maybe they were 6 feet apart. I don't know. But because they did not comply with his orders to shut down, and God forbid they should gather to pray, which may have been misguided, but guess what? They were exercising their First Amendment rights, and they were insisting on it. He told them he would shut the building down, quote, permanently. What do you think about that?
He warned every synagogue or every church that did that he would do that.
Permanently. Way I read that, that's permanently. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean during the virus. It means permanently.
Yes.
Oh,
that's right.
Gosh. And people don't think they're drunk with power. Obviously, de Blasio has never read the Constitution, and if he has read it, he doesn't care. You go ahead and tell me what you think about it.
Okay. There's actually two issues.
Yes.
One, you're 100% right. De Blasio hasn't read, well, he might have read the Constitution, but, you know, they think it's a living document that they could wake up and say, this should be different. Okay. And he's a socialist. What did Marx say? Marx said religion is the opiate of the masses.
Uh-huh.
And, yep. You know, I'm not sure that he actually knows what, or he's ever been in a synagogue or a church. I mean, you know,
socialists have great hostility towards God and religion because they want to be God not only in their universe, but in yours.
That's right.
Yep.
However, on the other side, and it's not an either or, it's a both. De Blasio should shut up because he has no right to do that. But according to Jewish law, you're not allowed to do anything that puts your health in danger or other people's health in danger. So by having that minion and that congregation, they were breaking Jewish law.
All right, let me ask you about that, Jeff, because I spoke to a rabbi right before I spoke. Before I had you on, we had a bit of a heated conversation, probably the most heated conversation I ever had with a rabbi. And what we were arguing about is why is it accepted immediately that we know exactly everything we need to know about this virus? And why are we not allowed to ask questions? Now, you know, it is a moving target, certainly. There's a lot more we know now than we did before. Perhaps it was reckless of them to do that. Perhaps they should not have done that. But to be threatened that you'll shut the building down permanently is ridiculous and against the Constitution. And it also shows a tremendous amount of arrogance and ignorance about safety, health, and what America is about. But what I wanted to talk about is this idea that you're killing people if you go outdoors. I mean, that's a lot to hang on a law-abiding citizen, and I'm not so sure it's right or accurate. What do you think? This is where you and I probably disagree. I haven't decided yet. I just see our liberties going away, and I don't see the facts on the ground justifying the level of tyranny that's being imposed upon us at this point.
Well, again, I go both ways.
Okay.
And on this issue, not both ways, both ways. But I'm assuming that the rabbi's thing was you disobey, you don't question.
I think he said that you're killing people if you go outside. And I'm thinking, well, that's, and if we don't accept that, or if we say that's based on faulty information that they've already downgraded, I mean, it's like saying there's only one fact and you have to accept it. If you don't, you're a murderer. I mean, period. End of story.
Well, you're putting
I don't buy that.
Telling people. You're putting yourself and other people in danger if you don't keep 6 feet separation.
And do that's you think just, that we might find out that's wrong, too, over time? That maybe I just saw on Drudge that, you know, the air you breathe, it could be. It doesn't matter. So if we don't know, how come we are blaming and threatening and bullying people before we know that everybody is supposed to march in lockstep and be groupthink here? I mean, the very fact that we're not allowed to doubt is what makes me particularly suspicious.
Well, what I would say to a rabbi who didn't say you're allowed to doubt is that didn't Abraham doubt God when he says, I'm going to blow up Sodom and Gomorrah? Did he say, well, we're going to have 50 people? What, you know what I'm saying?
Or yes.
When God said to Moses that he wants him to, you know, lead the slave revolt, God said, no, go to my brother Aaron. He's better, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
From a Jewish perspective, we're allowed to argue with authority.
Yes. And what is at issue here? There's right and wrong morally. There is persuasion. There is, I don't like what you did. And there is the use of force by government that is already proven to be corrupt, dishonest, and socialist. So the question is, what are you willing to impose socialism for? You know, the bubonic plague, the yellow fever, or a disease that is quickly changing and 90% of people won't even need an aspirin.
But do you think Trump is a socialist?
Absolutely not.
He's not using force.
Right.
But he's begging, and telling people to stay inside. And his people.
All right. You made my point. A socialist will force you. A free country, and even a president, which, by the way, we know that the president doesn't have as much power as the states do, right?
That's right.
So let me just say, begging is great. Force is not under the current circumstances. Again, maybe if we were dealing with yellow fever, I'd say suspended. But this is not the yellow fever. We have to take a break.
Okay.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. We have to take a break.
You get the first word when we come back, because I can't wait to hear what you have to say. This is Karen Cataline. I'm your host of Spouting Off. We have one more segment, and we're going to spend it with Jeff Dunnitz here in just a minute. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Having a terrific conversation on and off the air, both with Doug, our producer, and with our wonderful guest, Jeff Dunitz, the proprietor of thelitblog.com. You're going to want to go there and read the latest from him. I promised that I would turn it over to him. He asked me if Trump was a socialist. I said no, because he's not using force. Begging, cajoling is not forcing. And what did you want to say about that, Jeff Dunitz?
I wanted to say that the federal government doesn't have that power to force, but the
right.
state governments do. It falls under police power.
Yes, and he knew that, and he respected that. We both agree.
Well, I mean, I think, it's the 10th Amendment. Anything that's not there, the states can do.
And also, I think he would have to declare martial law if he were to do that. And he said no. And I did a piece, which you may have seen, in the Western Journal that laid out, it's a little bit outdated now, it was updated twice, that the people that were the governors that were most predisposed to shutting down entire states, regardless of the number of afflicted or the number of deaths, which were in New Jersey, in West Virginia, zero. They shut down the entire state, regardless. Shut down the entire state. So Democrats far outweighed Republicans in locking down the state, and certainly far outweigh them in the threats and the bullying and the promises of $5,000 fines or jail time for not doing as we are told.
Yeah. And look at the big risk that Trump did take. He basically shut down the government and shut down the economy, not the government, but the economy.
He did. He did shut down the economy.
The economy is going to be his strong force come, October, November, when he's running for re-election.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, Jeff, because I think the left miscalculated, as they've continued to, that they thought that if the economy lost the kind of power that it has lost, and the stock market has lost one third of its value, on and on and on, that Trump would get blamed for it. That's one of the reasons they're so willing to continue to shut down longer and longer and longer, and ignoring any kind of optimism or good news coming from anywhere. Meanwhile, I don't think that's going to be blamed on Trump whatsoever. His numbers continue to go up.
The fact that he did that is proof that he loves the country more than his office.
An excellent point. And you'll never, ever get any concession on that from the left. Doug, our producer, had a... Oh, no, go ahead. We have time.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I'm glad, because you're a smart man, and I'm glad that you're the one that I invited on to speak on this. Doug, our producer, had a question. I'm going to let him ask it to you. Doug?
Hi, Doug.
Hi. Hi.
Well,
great question.
We don't have that much leverage, but there is leverage that Trump won't use. On Christmas
Such
Day,
as what?
Every year, it's a Jewish tradition, we go have Chinese food. If Trump said, to be patriotic, don't go to Chinese restaurants on Christmas Day, I'm telling you, first of all, Denny's would go up, but all the Chinese restaurants in America would go out. So
yeah, but
that's
so unfair and ridiculous and collectivist. You're saying that we cannot hold back the money we owe China and hold them responsible for this virus that they unleashed, either intentionally or not, on the rest of the world?
I think they launched it. I think they lied. But I haven't seen any proof. Okay?
No.
Just rumors. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I don't get this eating bats thing. Okay? Because that's where it supposedly came from.
Mm-hmm. But, well, there's so much conjecture in all of this, and people are going with it thinking it's fact. It isn't fact. Right. We don't know. You're right.
Right. And that's the problem. We don't know. We don't know for sure if they're lying. I bet you they are, because if we have, what are we up to, 100,000? No, we're up to 250,000. If we have more people that caught the virus than they do, and their population is 20 times ours?
Yes.
So it doesn't make sense.
Well, Jeff, I mean, we know that China has never cared for its own people like we do in America anyway. I mean, they engage in organ harvesting, for heaven's sake, of certain oppressed groups that they don't like, who don't fall in with the communist system. This is, of course, what the young people who've been taught that socialism is wonderful and terrific until they have their cell phones taken away. They don't know that part of the story.
Well,
so,
but that's the difference between the systems, because the socialist system is everything is done for the unity. Everything is done for the state. Okay, and the American system is for the people, by the people.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Right.
And I just want to point out, Jeff, too, that while you were talking about we're talking about how much we don't know, and yet look at the policies that are being put in place based on faulty information, ever-changing information. We were willing to shut down most of a country based on fears of what might happen with no certainty, and now the numbers have been ratcheted way, way down from the same organization. And do you think the left is ratcheting down their hysteria? No. That's what I'm speaking to here. I am not in any way saying that the virus is some kind of hoax and doesn't exist. That would be foolish. The virus does exist, but you can get so much more compliance, unless you want to destroy freedom and destroy the country, when you make a case for something, then you demagogue the issue and use force and bullying and threats of jail time and fines. I mean, I'm appalled
right.
by that. Yeah.
But when
so
also,
in that case, we agree.
We agree. But if when you look at the fact that it might be 100,000 people in this country dying, that's scary.
It is scary. But remember... Yep. Look, we are taking steps. The point is, and you already agree with me, that the use of force seems to play right into the hands of the very, I'm going to say it, evil people that have been showing their true colors all along, right?
Sure.
That's what I don't understand, is that it's as if the minute someone says there's a scary thing, they abandon everything they know and have known up until now. It's kind of like the slogan that I've used before. In New Hampshire, it's live free or die. But now it's I'm scared, so I'll do whatever you want. I'm willing to give up all of my freedom, all of what made America great for this. And I can't help but wonder if this isn't a dress rehearsal for more tyranny to come. It already is. They're ramping up even more tyranny. It's never enough. It's never been enough.
Remember what Rahm Emanuel said.
You betcha. You repeat
never
it for us.
Never let a crisis go to waste.
Exactly.
And
this
what they're doing.
Yes. Yes. And,
really,
and we are
that's
way.
That's what you're looking at for 2020. Freedom versus socialism.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay,
I could not agree more.
Actually, so, it's going to be freedom versus senility, but that's different. Dementia.
Well, I don't know. Real quickly, do you think that they're going to find some way to slip Andrew Cuomo or whatever, whichever Cuomo he is, whether it's Fredo Cuomo? Yeah, Andrew Cuomo.
No,
they're going to find some
Fredo.
Way to do it? Fredo. Chris. Oh, Chris is
yeah.
Fredo.
Right. I don't. Yeah. You know what? Everybody is hinting at that. I just don't see them doing it. Because if they do it, it's going to split the party for a long time.
Well, then I hope they do it, because Cuomo isn't any great shakes either.
Well,
they're all incredibly weak, every single one of them.
I can tell you that, now, were you living in New York when Koch was running for mayor the first time?
Not the first time, no. I was there during Giuliani. I was there when Koch was mayor in the 80s and the late 70s, the very late 70s,
yes.
Right?
Well, when he was running for mayor against Cuomo's father.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, Mario. Mario Cuomo.
Yeah. Someone came out with a flyer and started passing it around Queens. Vote for Cuomo, not the homo. Okay. And it was a big issue because Cuomo's campaign said, "Nah, it didn't come from us. It was just one of the idiots." And, you know, it could be. Except to the day he died, Koch believed that it was Andrew Cuomo working for his father that came out with that.
Really? Yeah. Well, we've seen that Democrats are everything they accuse others of, oftentimes, the strategists. Not all of the Democrats in the whole wide world, mind you, but the strategists. We have only about a minute. Boy, time goes quickly when you're talking to someone you really love talking to. We got a minute and a half.
I have one article that I want people to look for.
Please tell us about it.
It went up earlier this week. Okay.
Yes.
For anybody who lost their job, and there are so many, this is something I wrote actually 20 years ago when I lost my job, called Daddy on the Unemployment Line. And it's really, it's heartening, because if you read through it, you'll understand. But if you lost your job, just go to my site and look for that. It was earlier this week.
Great. And give us once again how they can find the LID.
LIDblog.com.
That's all it is. The
LID
blog, not even the, just LIDblog.com. Thank you so much, Jeff Dunitz. I hope everybody will go to LIDblog.com. You're a pleasure to talk to. I'll have you on again. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for your time.
Have a great weekend and a wonderful Passover.
Thank you very much. Very same to you. That's true. Passover is this Sunday, I believe. I have just enough time to thank Doug, my producer, and BBS Radio that produces, and we've got K-Star Radio Network. And thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And, oh, my, tune in next week when there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.